Well, good morning to you all. Good to see everyone here this morning. Good to have those of you visiting with us. We are glad that you are here, and you are an encouragement to us. And if you have any questions in regards to the lesson this morning, we invite you to write that question down and get with us, or in particular, me, since I'll be the one preaching the lesson this morning, and love to be able to talk with you, because the endeavor is to teach God's Word, to follow His will so that we can go to heaven and be with Him throughout eternity, in reference to the song that Brother David led us in singing this morning. I'd like to also, again, bring to everyone's attention exciting news for us here at Mill Road, that we had two souls obey the gospel of Christ last week, baptizing Don Stradaman and also Sharon Hammond last week, as they were immersed in Christ Jesus. And I this morning we do offer condolences for Dawn. Her husband had passed away, and the funeral was today at 1 o'clock. So she's attending with the brethren up in Dayton this morning. And so let's continue to remember the family in our prayers in reference to the loss of her husband and her daughter's father there. So let's again. But we are excited about them putting Christ on. And that's what it's all about. Our endeavor is to teach as many people as possible, to help them to become right with God, so that at the end of life they will be with Him throughout eternity. And so this morning, as we engage in the worship and study of His Word, let us focus our attention on that will, and carrying these things out in our lives. Our theme this year has been walking in the counsel of God. And that is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, because it is described of the one who was to come, the one that would be born of a virgin, is called the Wonderful Counselor. And so in reference to this wonderful counselor, we learn and are learning all the things that he has stated. In other words, the commands that are given are for our benefit, to help us to be right, to help us to grow. The advice that he conveys to us addresses every situation in our lives. We have been learning there in the teenage class in the back there about how to deal with consequences. So when you're looking in God's Word, the counsel shows us how to be able to deal with the consequences, whether those consequences are brought on by my own doing or by the doings of others. And what we're learning is that all of us are dealing with consequences. In fact, we're dealing with the consequences of Adam and Eve's disobedience to God in the garden. Sin and death entered into the world. And so we've been dealing with these consequences. And one of the things that we've learned so far, and this morning especially, is how important forgiveness is. I really appreciated Evan even bringing that to our attention as we were studying these things. He said, yeah, forgiveness. You are able to see that. And really, when you look at that, individuals are not able to forgive themselves. They are, in other words, forgive themselves for the consequences they brought on themselves in their disobedience to God. And therefore, they go around, they never rise above it. And there are individuals that not only do they not forgive themselves, but they don't forgive anyone else because of the decisions that they've made and brought the consequences upon us as well. And so individuals are walking around psychologically messed up, psychologically broken, until they learn the principles, the counseling of God, so that they can get their minds right. And if they get their minds right, they get their hearts right. And then they begin to conduct themselves and rise above. And so the counsel of God is important for us. And this morning, I want to engage in just a few thoughts in reference to the counsel of God as we deal with this day called Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day to all those who are mothers, and the toil that you have put forth in raising your children and trying to instruct and guide them. I ended up picking up a few things that someone put out there, and it was hilarious things my mother taught me. And I thought, well, this would be a good way to start when you start to look at some of those things. And some of us will record or might remember some of the things that our mothers said to us, or even as mothers have said to our children in connection to these things. In other words, he says, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. There it is. The job well done. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me to time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic because I said so. That's why. She even taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. She also taught me science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. She taught me contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? And she also taught me stamina. You sit there until all that spinach is gone. And you start to think about that for a moment. I know it sounds comical and everything in reference to what was stated or what mothers say sometimes, and even fathers along those lines. And you think about that. And as you go back over through some of those things, really, when it comes to the idea of logic, and as you think, it really, that makes an impact on you, because now you understand what logic is. You say, well, Mom said this, and well, that doesn't make sense. There's no logic to that. And so you really begin to understand what logic is. And so that's really looking at the good things that come out of such things as these. All that to say this, that mothers play a very important role in the family structure. In God's infinite wisdom, mothers have the most impact in the formative years of their children. And this is especially true if the mother has the right concept of who she is. I had the opportunity to read an article that was written by Allie Taylor. And it was titled, I Wasn't Made to Be a Mom. And what's confusing about this is that she has three daughters. But yet the title of the article is, I Wasn't Made to Be a Mom. And so you're trying to figure out, what does she mean by that? And that intrigued me, and I kept reading through, and I started to learn some things. One of the things that she pointed out is, with her husband, they had decided to grow their family. And as they made that decision, they thought that she, a child, was growing in her. But she went to the doctors and found out that it was not a child, but it was stage 3 breast cancer that she was dealing with at the age of 24. And not only that, she said during that trial period, or the trials that she was facing in dealing with this cancer, that she learned some things about herself. She said, being a mother describes her, but it is not her. And when she said that, I'm thinking, what does she mean by this? And it does sound a little bit confusing when she says that. She said, yeah, being a mother, I mean, it's not her. Wow. And she says, motherhood is not about her being fulfilled, even though it does. She says, I'm more than that. She says, I am determined, strong, a child of God, beautiful in God's eyes, the righteousness of God in Christ, blameless, goal-oriented, an overcomer, a survivor, self-motivated, loving, a wife, faithful friend, a daughter, a niece, hardworking, peacemaker, fun-loving, encouraging, joyful. And she starts to list all of these things. She says she found out she's more than that. Hence, she was not made to be a mother. She says she was made to be a child of God. Do you think about that for a moment? She is saying that life is more than the titles that we hold or are and carry around with us. Life is about being connected with God. And she said, even though motherhood does fulfill her and fulfills the dream that she had of being a mother, but she's more than that. She is a child of God. Hence, she was made to be. She says her first and highest calling is to be of God. And that brings me to the thoughts of what I want to cover this morning. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, this statement is made in reference to the proverb writer. He says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And do not forsake your mother's teaching." And if you slow that down and begin to really look at what the proverb writer is telling us, he is telling us that there is an implicit trust in the teaching of the mother. By saying that, by telling the son, listen, or do not forsake your mother's teaching. So there is an implicit trust in that. The second thing about this proverb, it says that the teaching of the father and the mother are unified. And so he encourages son to listen, or not to forsake or abandon the mother's teaching. In fact, another way of saying that is how Paul wrote it, guided by the Spirit there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, when he is instructing the children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's another way of saying what Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 is saying. And then you look in verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 1, and what you see is the reasons why he is to listen to the instructions of the father and not to forsake the mother's teaching. He says, first of all, what it's going to do, it's going to be a wreath on your head. The idea of approval and honor. And then it's going to be an ornament or a necklace around your neck. And there are several instances where you see this happening. Over in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 42, you remember Joseph in reference to the dream that is interpreted as he is guided by God, and he gives the interpretation to Pharaoh's dream. And what was given Joseph is royal wear. And one of the things was a necklace of gold. Joseph was approved. Joseph was honored by the Pharaoh. Another instance is over in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 29, when Belshazzar gives Daniel a necklace to put around his neck, royal wear. That's the idea of honor. And so what the proverb writer is saying to his son is, listen to my instructions, but do not abandon your mother's teaching, because that's what it is for you. It's very valuable. It rises you or raises you up to a place of honor, especially when the mother knows who she is, that she is made to be a child of God. And she passes the teachings of God to her children. Because that word teaching there in Proverbs 1 and verse 8 is the word Torah. The law. And when you look in the law, there's the teachings that God gives to His people. And in fact, in this teaching, this concept that is there is the idea of the precepts, the moral behavior and conduct of the individual. That's what's in the law. When you look back there in the first five books of the law, here you're seeing God laying down the counsel, the instructions of moral conduct that He expects of His people. Another word that is associated with that aspect of the teaching and Torah is this idea of statutes. We know what statutes are, but there's a principle behind that. A statue is something, especially when you get an award and they give you a trophy or they give you a statue. And the idea really is, in the teachings that the mother conveys to the child, is a teaching that carves his or her image after the image of God. So when you start to make that connection and you look back in the Torah, that's exactly what God is doing to His people. He's carving them. He's shaping them in the image that they are supposed to be. And that's His image and His likeness, as Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 teaches us. So you start to see that. So no wonder the son is told not to forsake his mother's teaching, because it's carving him. It's shaping him into the person that he ought to be. As she conveys God's will in his heart and mind. And so this morning, I titled the lesson, Listen to Your Mother. When she knows who she is, and she is teaching the word of God, or the counsel of God, listen to your mother. She's looking out for your best interest. She's trying to help carve and shape and mold you into the man that you ought to be. She's trying to carve and shape you in the mold of a woman you ought to be. And that's why that article by Allie Taylor is spot on. I'm more than a mother. I wasn't meant to be a mother. I was meant to be a child of God. And when you have that first, and then when motherhood takes place, because you are connected to God, then you pass on those teachings to your children. And so listen to your mother. I want to begin by looking there in Proverbs 1. I want you to notice verses 10 and 15. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And in verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. And so, what is mother's teaching that is unified with the father's teaching? And that is, listen to your mother when she says, do not consent to the enticement of sinners. Listen to her. There's a reason why. And when you look in chapter 1, you start to see that. And the idea of entice means don't be deceived by them. Don't be seduced by those things that sinners want you to engage in. And here's the reason why. You see, because their enticement it deals with, like in verse 13, precious wealth. Really appealing to that. We'll fill our houses. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, one purse. See, this is interesting. The idea of one purse. Who's controlling that purse? Who would ever think about that? You ever noticed there is no honor among thieves? Everybody wants to be in control of it. And there's a fight for it. And in the fight for controlling the purse, somebody dies. Somebody loses their life. Somebody gets impacted or injured in all of this. And then all the others become subservient to the one who's controlling the purse. And so mom is saying, don't do that. Don't consent with them. Don't agree. Don't desire. Don't fall for those enticements. Because what is going on is you're headed for trouble. The very net that you are fixing for them, as verse 17 is pointing out, is the very net that you get caught up in. Not only that, you're not lying in wait for someone else's blood, you're lying in wait for your own. That's why you should listen to your mother. How often has dad said, now you listen to your mother? Yeah, listen to your mother. Because the teachings are united. Their concept is about doing the will of God, molding and shaping the minds after the will of our Father in heaven. And so in that unified teaching, when the Father says, listen to your mother, and you might want to say, you know, I think I can get away with things with mom. I can't get away with anything with dad, so I'm not going to talk to dad. I'm going to talk to mom. Hey, mom, there's this opportunity. Some friends of mine, and they're enticing me to do wrong about it, but you don't tell mom about it. And then mom starts to inquire and find out it's sinners, and she's don't consent to it. Oh. Dad would tell me the same thing. Yeah. Why? Because you're headed for trouble. That's why we're to listen. As individuals who are connected to the Lord, teach us about His will, about His counsel, so that you might walk in it and preserve your life. Look at another one, Proverbs chapter 6. The passages that Brother David read before us there in those passages. Verses 21 and 23. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Well, just think about that for a moment. Listen to your mother when she tells you those wise things and teaching. Bind them continually on the heart. Tie them around your neck so that you don't lose them, so that you don't forget them. Because when you look in chapter 6, There are things that are taught in this chapter that mom is trying to point out to us. You see, mom has, they have the ability to give insights from a female perspective of things. I don't have that. I'm not a female. But mom, from the perspective in her connection to God, recognizing who she is, and she's going to teach the will of God and point out that perspective to guide, as verse 22 says. It says, they'll guide you. They'll give you direction. They'll watch over you. In other words, they'll protect you. You know, it's going to build your character. It's going to watch over your character. It's going to help you to develop wealth. In other words, the way that you conduct yourself. And one way to be wealthy is to be rich in the wisdom of God. That's really the ultimate wealth. Rich in the wisdom of God. It's also going to help you to talk and think rationally about things. Even though I saw a image of compared to the male's way of thinking versus the female. With the male's perspective of thinking, there was this one track. One train track. And the other one was, with the female, there was a conglomerate of tracks going every which way. I want you to think about that for a moment. Those perspectives can lead you down certain paths. And moms have the propensity to point those things out. From the female's perspective. And like I said, I will never forget this example. When we were watching a detective show, the boys and I and Deb, and we're sitting there, and the boys and I, we had it all logically pointing to someone. And we knew we were right because it logically fell in place. And Deb says, no, it's not. And she said it was a female. No way. It doesn't logically connect her to this. And as we kept walking, watching the show, and then finally, it was the female. Our bottom jaws dropped. How did she know that? Because she came from a female perspective. And she explained it from a female perspective. And it was exactly how the show had pointed those things out. And it's like, wow. You see, that's why the father is telling the son, do not forsake the teachings of his mom. Because it's a lamp. It's a light. Guides. It's even teaching preventative maintenance for the soul and the character. That's why. Listen to your mother. When she knows who she is, and she's teaching God's will, listen. Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 31. In Proverbs chapter 31, here is King Lemuel. And his mother is teaching him. And she says in verse 3, she says to the king, this young king, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. Then drop down to verse 8. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. What is mom teaching this young king who would be ruling? She is saying, be of noble character. Listen to your mom. When she knows who she is, She's trying to teach young men how to be of noble character. Even though the principles that she points out are applicable to both male and female in reference to a female, don't give yourself to many men. Give it to one. The one who steps forward. The one who leads. The one who conducts himself in righteousness. Who seeks to serve God. Because remember the instruction to the son, to the mom, in reference to this. You know, open your mouth for those who cannot speak. For the rights of all the unfortunate. The mouth, judge righteously. Defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Defend them. Don't crush them. And so the information is applicable to both male and female. Don't destroy your character. Get away from the strong drink. Because what the strong drink does, it loosens the moral restraints. And she says you even forget the judgments, the laws, and you will not judge righteously because of what it does to the mind. She is teaching him empathy. And the idea is the psychological identification with various experiences of the feelings, thoughts, and attitudes of another. Empathy. Moms are equipped to do that. Dads can teach those things too. But mom has that ability to teach about empathy. And that's what she's teaching her son, who's king. Compassion. She's teaching him about compassion. That as he gets older and as he rules, that he will have compassion. And that word, I believe, is clearly seen or expressed in Jesus Christ, ultimately. But in the lesson that Jesus taught in reference to the prodigal son there in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, the prodigal son has gone, he spent all his living, he has lived a righteous life, and now realizes, hey, I had it better at home. And he goes home and the father sees him far away. The father is not trying to destroy him, kick him and step on him and call him all kinds of things. Instead, the father has compassion. And embraces him. Kisses him. And is glad to see his son who has returned from the pits of destruction and now is alive. That's compassion. And moms help in teaching that. Listen to your mother. Listen to her. Listen to your mom. Do not consent to the enticement of sinners. Bind them continually on in your heart and around your neck and be of noble character. That's important. That's what God wants of us. To be carved in His image. To be like Him. And no wonder we find these things in the counsel of God. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings of instructions, counsel. Help us to realize, Lord, that we were made to be children of yours. And help us work together to carve the image of who we are into your image, in your likeness. So that you will be pleased with us, that you will be glorified. Forgive us, Lord, when we have neglected to do that, when we have neglected to build our character and be what you'd have us to be. Forgive us, Father, and help us to forgive ourselves, that we may not wallow in it, but that we might learn from it and ever grow in the grace and knowledge of your will. We ask these things to your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you are not a child of God, you can become one now. God has made it possible to where we can be right with Him. The counsel is given. The counsel has been shown of how you and I can become children of God. You know, we sin. It was man that sinned. And it was man that ended up being separated from God. And as we are separated from God, the only way that we could get back with God, because remember, we're on the side of wrath, was God's grace. God's grace bridged that gap. And that was done through the death of His Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And what God requires of us in order to be united with Him, to no longer be separated, to remove the wrath that is upon us, to remove the sin. He had the message preached about what Jesus did, producing faith in those who hear that message, that counsel, and were willing to repent, turn away from sin because they saw what sin did. It separated them from God, and it brought about His wrath on them. And they turn away from it. They confess Him as Lord. Wherever He leads, whatever He says, I will do. Just like the instruction was to not forsake the teachings of the mother, if we recognize Jesus as Lord, we will not forsake His teaching, but we will follow it, and it will carve us and shape and mold us into what God would have us to be. But we get there by having our sins washed away in baptism. When that takes place, we are made holy because of the death of Christ and His blood. We are united with Christ, and we are saved. What a blessing. And so this morning, if you want to be a part of God and fulfill what you were made to be, now is the time. We're here to assist. And so, my friend, if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song.